Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long.
Just Happy Halloween, long. Everybody. I guess it's just playing Long tonight.
Yeah. I was betting on Long the House Monster. You're going to be like, Long the House Monster.
No. But We both might have a couple of crazy exes that could be in the house.
yeah, for real.
But it is Halloween weekend. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween.
We pulled it off, 5 straight weeks of horror movies, Halloween horrors. It was fun. We'll do it again next year, I'm sure. Much to Long's chagrin. Sometimes with the horror movies, but they're not my favorite either, but I can get through them. I just figured, since you like horror movies, Matt, we do 4 or 5 of them in 1 month. Then I don't have to fucking hear you talk about it the rest of the year.
That'll shut them up.
Yeah, next year we'll watch Hellraiser 2.
Yes. Yes, for sequel month.
Or we could just watch... What? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, or we can just watch safe Halloween-ish movies like The Burbs or Ghostbusters 2 or...
Hocus Pocus. There we go.
I hate that.
Hocus Pocus sucks.
What?
Dude, that movie only... It's terrible. It only became a cult phenomenon Halloween movie because of people your age. People in their 20s started watching that movie and started making it a fucking classic, and it sucks. It's a terrible fucking movie.
I saw it when I was little. I'll
say that right here on the show.
I saw it when I came out. Well, I was 6. I wasn't 20.
When you're little, you don't know better. You don't know better when you're little, okay? When you're little, you would think, like, a masterpiece like Heat is boring. Then when you get older, you realize, like, this is pretty good. So being little doesn't count. But yeah, we're doing a kid flick, our annual Halloween kid flick today. So I guess I should watch my mouth. Not that we have kids listening to the show, but I guess I should have some respect for a kid movie. Even though this kid movie has some adult jokes in it and some dark side to it.
For real.
But yeah, so how's your guys' week been?
It went by pretty quick.
I know what I meant.
Went by pretty quick for me.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's like the other day we were talking about what we're going to do for Halloween or talking about Halloween, and then all of a sudden it's here pretty much on the eve of Halloween.
Yeah.
The day when the barrier between the living and the dead is at its thinnest, and we must dress as demons so that they pass us over and mistake us for other demons.
What's wrong with you?
Matt's a narc.
Well, you know, Jackie would give him the look right about now, like, stop acting like a dumbass.
Yeah, she would.
I mean,
she gives that to me a lot for some reason. I don't know.
Well,
why.
Yeah, I would imagine probably several times a day.
At least. Like, why? Just why?
My week's been okay. I've been on vacation from work, but I'm still getting up early every day, taking the oldest to school and trying to do online school with a kindergartner, but that's practically impossible.
Pretty much.
So I'm not going to say that I didn't give up by the last couple of days, but I was just to the point like, fuck it, whatever, he'll be back in school in a week. You know, it's just like, he's a smart kid. So.
Yeah.
As the pandemic continues to affect things across the world, like school.
Ravage the world.
Yeah. Yep. And, but oh well. You know, sometimes I think, thank God we have the podcast, because fuck, man. I don't know. I don't know what I'd do. I'd be like losing my marbles or something.
Yeah, man.
There's still porn.
There's always porn.
There's always porn.
Yes. No, check. There. Long came in like Yoda. There is another.
There is illegal another way.
Illegal substances. You know, things like that. But you know, yeah. Not that we condone that on the show. But let's get into today's show, man. We've got a lot to talk about, especially in Download This, because a certain show premiered today, and I know we'll all be talking about that in a minute. But before we get to that show, what else did you guys watch? Check out this week and download this.
I'll start first. I was mine's pretty straightforward. All I've done is just every spare moment I had between work and work is Final Fantasy 14 online. Just trying to grind through all of the levels, trying to max out my main character. So that's nice. About it for me. And recommending Matt horror movies to watch.
Yes. Yeah. Good recommendation, by the way.
Oh, is it? Okay. I'm very curious. Yeah. Well, I'm done with my portion of Download This. Go on ahead, Matt.
Long had me watch Hereditary, and Long had been, you know, talking about, you know, hey, you need to watch this film.
Fucking shut up.
I saw some other people. Yeah. And I saw some other people on my feed talking about Hereditary. I think maybe Justin Corbett or maybe Carrie had posted something about Hereditary. And I was like, man, what a coincidence, you know. I was like, but it's definitely drawn out, but for good reason. It's truly a scary. It's one of those movies that just makes your skin crawl because of what's going on, and really gives you the WTF factor. You're just like, what the heck, you know? And some good performances.
Gabriel Byrne's in it. I forget.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in the American movie in a while.
And is it Miley Shapiro, or I think it's Miley Shapiro? Mm-hmm. But man, whenever she the axe the car, I don't want to give it away. But right. There's a car accident, and I was watching it at night.
You can give it away. Silent. I'll probably never watch.
And man, just that scene, it just, you know, it hit me. I was just like, man, that's kind of. It's subtle in a way. Watching it a second time around, I was like, well, maybe it's a little subtle, but it really, that setting, it just kind of was pretty profound, you know, the way that they filmed it, and the way that the shot was executed, and how the sound, how they worked with the sound, just kind of messed up. But if you like ghosts and demon possessions and that kind of stuff,
a movie that depends on weighty atmosphere rather than jump scares.
Yes. Yeah. No jump scares really in that film. In fact, it goes out of its way to not show jump scares. It will pan around and show you everything, so you know what's coming, really. The only thing that maybe catches you off guard is whenever Peter runs upstairs from his mom, and the upstairs, and that the people that he sees right before he jumps out of the window.
Yeah,
that maybe catches you off guard, but it's no way a jump scare. But yeah, it's just genuinely makes your skin crawl. Yeah,
it's an A24 movie, isn't it?
A24.
Yeah, A24 studio.
Oh, I didn't pay attention.
Oh, like in the beginning, I think it is an A24 type movie. Okay. It's like Lighthouse and The Witch, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. The Witch.
Yeah.
I definitely see some of that in there.
Yeah, and do you think people are like talking about, man, Toni Collette, she could probably be like the first horror actress in a long time to be Oscar nominated for this role.
Yeah.
You know, not since like Sissy Spacek and Carrie. I think she got Oscar nomination for Carrie in that movie.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, but I think she did.
The original one, right, with John Travolta?
Yeah. So,
love that movie.
Want to hear a plot twist?
Yeah.
I never saw the movie.
Really?
Out of all the that one movie I keep recommending you. What? Mainly because you're my guinea... Yeah.
Wait,
you're my guinea pig, man.
What?
Man, you got me.
That's true. I keep talking it up as if I sound like I watched the movie, but yeah.
Now you have to watch it.
No.
Yes.
No,
I don't. You have to watch it like I did. I waited till the kids were asleep. It was dark. The whole room was dark. All I could see was the TV. And it really, I think that really broadened the effect that it had on me. Just kind of made me look around the house and stuff. It's kind of movie that it is when you watch it like that. You're just kind of like, what's that creak? Is there something on the ceiling?
Yeah. Actually, no, I did watch the movie, but it was more like on the side because my roommate was watching the movie too.
Oh, okay.
And I was kind of half paying attention, half watching it, you know, so.
One of those, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. But yeah. Plot twist! Right. You've got Mark all off guard, too.
He's man, shaking dude. His head. You got me.
But the biggest reason why I was recommending it to you is because I knew you were a horror fan, and I knew you were open-minded towards different styles of horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to get your opinion on it, you know? Yeah, I wanted to hear your thoughts as a horror fan, if it met your seal of approval in the genre, like if it added anything to the genre.
Oh, definitely. I think it definitely shows what that genre is still capable of, and being truly scary.
Yeah,
and something that will kind of keep you up at night, possibly, depending on your exposure to that, you know, part of the film world.
Yeah, because lately there's been, like, in recent years, a trend of, like, really high-quality type, high-art, art-house style horror movies, like The Witch, Lighthouse, Hereditary, and what else is another? Oh, The Babadook, you know?
Oh, yeah, Babadook.
Yeah. They didn't have like a big studio backing, but they're all like very well made indie type high art movies, you know, done with A-list caliber type actors, you know? So anyways,
if you haven't seen Hereditary, go out and watch it. I recommend it. And then the movies that I watched, 8mm, I think it was on Amazon, possibly.
Yeah.
I don't think I rented it, but Jackie saw it and she was like, "Oh, what's that movie about?" And I was like, "You know what? You like, you know, crime, and it's like kind of like a crime thriller, you know, really, and like an unsolved mysteries kind of thing all combined into one." I think it's definitely worth a watch just to say you've watched it. I don't think it's one of those movies you watch and you're like, "Why did I watch it?" It's not a great movie. I don't even know if it's a good movie, but I don't know if it's a bad movie. I think it's like a C minus kind of thing, you know. Definitely a movie that is entertaining to watch. Joaquin Phoenix is in it, and basically Nicolas Cage is a private eye that digs deep into the underground porn world and has become an expert in porn so he can solve a case. Some people would like to be signed up for that, but
it's more like a snuff film, though, isn't it?
They make these snuff films. Have you seen it long?
No, I know of the genre snuff films where people watch like actual violent death scenes, of people dying, you know, or highly sexually explicit stuff that's, you know, you would never see even in a X-rated film.
Yeah,
you know. Stuff that's like really underground shit, you know.
It's so brutal. He's like, I think it's real, and he gets paid to investigate it by this rich woman, because she's just been widowed by her husband, and she wants to know if this film is real and what happened to the girl. If anything happened, she wants to know that the girl's alive, which, you know, spoiler alert, she's not. She really is killed in the film, but. There's definitely some character actors out there. The wife is, I can't remember, but I always get her confused with the lady who played Will Ferrell's mom. Oh no, she's the woman from 40-Year-Old Virgin that starts dating Steve Carell. She's in the film. So a lot of character actors, but that's on Amazon if you want to watch it. I also rented Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Where it's a movie about them making another Freddy movie, but then Freddy somehow comes back through the talks of Freddy. And
it's a meta horror movie.
Meta horror movie, yeah.
Meta horror movie.
Yeah, Christy comes back. You know,
is it Nancy or Christy?
Nancy.
God, the, you're last just time messing I, up names. What's wrong with you today?
I said Nancy last week, and now I'm saying Christy.
No.
Yeah, Heather Langenkamp. So Heather Langenkamp comes back. I'll just play it safe.
Call her Nancy.
Yeah. She comes back and has to defeat Freddy again, basically. Wes Craven even stars in the film. So it's, I think it's probably maybe the third or fourth best Freddy movie, for sure. Definitely worth a rental if you're willing to spend $3 on it.
I remember that movie winning a lot of praise from critics back in the day when it came out. So what's the last horror movie for you this year for tomorrow?
Did you make it
every single day as a horror film?
I didn't. I just could. It's so hard. This week especially. Just had a lot of things to try and prepare for before I go on vacation tomorrow, and just didn't have time to really dig into. I did watch a movie on Shudder called The Beach House. It's kind of a disappointment, but it was 2 stars for a reason. I probably wouldn't recommend it. And then, of course, you know, Mark's probably going to touch on something both of us watched, so I'll leave that for him.
I forgot. I watched that earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll leave that for Mark, but that was pretty much my week.
Oh, okay.
You watch a lot of shit, crap movies, Matt. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to take care of that dog while you guys talk about The Mandalorian.
Well, because I didn't watch much else this week. I watched, I wasn't joking when I texted y'all and said I was watching Buckaroo Banzai. So I watched it because I like that movie.
Do you own that movie? Blu-ray or DVD? Blu-ray.
It was actually a Shout-like release. So I like it. I like that movie. It was streaming for a while. It was on Netflix, Amazon Prime, and all that. But I think it's off streaming right now. But that's really about all I really watched this week. I am, like you, playing Final Fantasy. I grinded hard into Star Wars Galaxy's Legends a lot this week and was playing that. And like you said, I'm trying to get my characters up to where I want them to be. And so I did kind of the same thing as you. But for me this week, it was all about the show that premiered today. And that is season 2 of The Mandalorian kicked off today. I watched it being off work. Luckily, I was able to watch it this morning. Even though Michael wanted me to wait for him, I was like, I didn't wait. but he watched it when he got home. Yeah. He watched it when he got home, so I kind of watched it twice. What a really great, great fucking start to the second season. And as a Star Wars fan, they put about as many fucking Easter eggs as they possibly could in this premiere episode. And for people that don't know, last season, we during Download This, we talked about The Mandalorian almost every week. So we're probably going to do it again this year. So if you want to avoid spoilers, you know, maybe skip the show a little bit or come back later and listen. A lot of cool stuff in this episode. They introduce a character from the books in Cad Banth, played very well by Timothy Oliphant, who is wearing a certain kind of armor that looks familiar. A lot of good and the bad and the ugly references in this episode. It was really cool to see the Tusken Raiders do something besides just make noise. Crate dragon finally appears in Star Wars lore. There's so much to talk about.
You mean alive crate dragon?
Yes,
alive. Other than being in the video games, there's so much to talk about.
Or
in this 50 minutes,
or a bag of bones,
you know that. And the drop at the end of the show, holy shit, you know, I mean, we knew that actor was in the show this season, but I don't think I expected it in episode 1, you know. thought they were going to make us wait a little bit for that. So I kind of was all over the place with my initial thoughts. So what are y'all, you guys?
Man, yeah, I really liked it. You know, watching the visual effects of this film, it looks definitely movie quality. The ILM is behind it, of course. So it's like ringers, dead ringers.
If you watch it again, the final battle at the end, your screen expands in IMAX size. Yeah, they shot it with IMAX cameras.
I was wondering why the camera was adjusting itself, you know, towards the end when the credits started rolling. So, okay, I see. That's why it took a year. You know, it reminds me, you know, I signed up with Disney Plus, and there were no Marvel shows that came out with Mandalorian.
Right.
Basically, it's the only thing that, the only tentpole that came out, you know, and I'm a little disappointed.
Well, yeah, because they remember they all got pushed back because of COVID.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, of course, they released Mulan for $30 freaking dollars, you know.
Should have been for free.
which I, by the way, little segue, I figured out why they put it at $30. It's because $30 would be if you brought a parent, child, and spouse, that's $10 per person in the theater. So that's $30 average. So I could see, the math. But anyways, back to the episode. Yeah, there were some little Easter eggs that I found pretty cool. The fact that, Timmy Oliphant's speeder bike was made out of a pod racer.
That looked like Anakin's.
Pod racer engine. Yeah, was it Anakin's? People say it could be funny. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it could have passed as Anakin's pod racer. And when I saw him dunning that armor for the first time, it's like, wait a minute, this looks a little off. The way his gut's kind of hanging out from underneath Boba Fett's armor. Sorry, spoiler. yeah, but anyhow, his gut was kind of hanging out. You gotta admit, his stomach was exposed. You know, it's like, and then he looked a little too scrawny wearing that armor as well. It's like, well, I don't. The body frame looks a little off too, you know, because I didn't really like. Yeah, but that last cameo at the end was really, really good, and I could definitely, see the actor. It's kind of cool seeing that actor reprise that role in the cameo. Don't know if he'll have more of an involvement later on in the show, but we'll see.
And well, just cool stuff like seeing the Gamorrean guards in there, seeing Weequay from, I guess it's the same Weequay from Return of the Jedi. He's now a bartender in a small town. You know, just little nods like that, you know.
Was it really him? I thought he called him Weequay.
Well, see, that's what I thought. Oh. I thought Weequay was a species, but then he called him that, so I wonder if it's a name. You know, Cad Banth appeared in the Aftermath novels. The guy, so that was kind of cool to see them bring something from the books into the show. And Matt, man, what are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, so since Long already alluded to it, yeah, I was just built stunned whenever I saw what I thought was a certain Mandalorian because of a certain armor that was being worn, and I'm just like, you're gonna start off with that off the bat, wow, you know, you're gonna start off this series strong, and then it's Cad Banth, but the crate dragon. And
I'm not familiar with that character.
Me neither. I had heard
about him from the books, but not super familiar with him either. So,
yeah.
I read the only thing I read after Empire was Dark Empire. I have the comics, but that's it. I think, man, it's back, and this was a refresh, you know, very refreshing to watch this and enjoy it and just get me excited for what's to come these next weeks, and man, I just can't wait for the next episode.
What's cool is a little nod. The R5 droid is the same R5 droid that Uncle Owen almost bought in Star Wars and apparently appeared in season one as well. So that's kind of cool to keep the continuity together.
This droid's got a bad motivator.
And, I mean, Pete, you can talk all day about the sequels and whether people liked them or not, but The Mandalorian is the most refreshing, possibly best thing that's coming out of Star Wars. And since Disney bought them, it might be, you know, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni really know what they're doing. And if you're not watching The Mandalorian, you're a Star Wars fan, you really should be. It's that good. And,
oh yeah.
So next week, episode 2. So just remember, we're going to talk about it every week. So make sure you watch it. So let's get into today's feature film, our final Halloween horrors movie month. We always do a kid flick every year, at least once, to get away from some of the, God dang, the blood and guts we saw in last week's movie. I'm still upset about that one. I've had nightmares. Okay. But this week we're talking a animated film called Monster House. You know, this movie, I don't remember when I saw this. I remember watching it. What year did it come out? 2004? Six?
Six.
So I saw it sometime after that. And I remember liking it. And but I hadn't really watched it again until, you know, yesterday. But this is a really well set up, very pretty decent Halloween flick for kids, at least for the first 45 minutes. Then the last 45 minutes, it becomes predictable, cliche, and you kind of know what's going to happen. So when I'm rewatching, I wish it would have kept that same tone it had in the 45 minutes it started with. But I also understand it's a kid movie, and you have to have action, you have to have certain things. But this is also a lot of adult jokes in this too. but a good movie. And I was surprised to know that I didn't realize a lot of this was stop motion animation, that they actually filmed the actors and then animated over them. So they actually had Steve Buscemi on screen, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and the child actors, and they recorded over them. So I thought that was kind of cool. Jason Lee is in this too. So y'all's initial thoughts on Monster House.
I remember watching this movie over a decade ago. and I tried rewatching this last night, and I just couldn't sit through 15 more minutes of it, and then I just quit and started playing more Final Fantasy 14. I'm sorry, Mark. I'm sorry. I failed.
That's twice as much.
Finish watching the movie. I know. I don't know. It's just so weird to watch a family movie by yourself. Well, as you two guys, you know, you can watch it with your kids.
I pretty much watched it by myself. Why am I
watching this? Oh, yeah, did you? None of the kids dropped on your lap and watched it with you or anything like that.
Same here. I watched it by myself, and then the kids didn't seem like they were interested. And then today, they decided, "Oh, let's watch Monster House." Now you want to watch it? I tried to get them to watch it with me, but yeah. I found myself watching it alone too in the living room. I figured they'd pass by and be like, "Oh, let's watch what's going on." But nope, they just did other things.
I didn't think the character designs held up for me, too. It's like, God, these character designs are kind of ugly.
They wanted them to look claymation. They didn't want them to look that way. And I will say that even though they probably aren't pretty, I'll agree with you there, Long. They aren't pretty, but you do get a lot of facial expressions out of them and a lot of emotions because of the motion capture. And I think that's really cool. I mean, there's definitely some creepy elements in here. It's pretty scary and stuff for a kid movie. Not in the kind of way that would make you pee your pants as a kid, but I think the kids are definitely scared if they watch the film a little bit.
Yes, that's my first thought on it. It's like, for a kid flick, it's pretty fucking horrible in some parts. Like, you have this house coming alive. Yeah. You have this old man yelling at the kids and he dies, basically. And, like, her sister's boyfriend, like, disappears. It's, like, some pretty horrible stuff going on in this movie. Then when they get inside the house and the house is attacking them, like, it's a lot of pretty scary stuff. And this came out during the 3D craze. So you can tell it had those elements in it.
Yeah.
As far as the animation style, I took it as perhaps they were trying to distinguish themselves from the other studios, because they didn't want to look like DreamWorks or Fox. So I felt like maybe they were just trying to make their own style, perhaps. Maybe I'm wrong on that. One thing I do think is, I also did feel that I felt the voice work in this film was kind of a bit all over the place. Like, Jason Lee and the kids are really good. But then, like, was it just me or did Maggie Gyllenhaal just sound like she was just reading her lines? Like, it just felt like her character had, it felt like her character had no emotion for doing voiceover work.
Like phoning it in. She plays the teen.
Yeah. Z. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw this movie technically 10 years ago.
There you go.
Completely. Half I mean, full. I do. Half. Yeah. I do remember, towards the last half of the movie, it was like, man, the house is really getting mangled up and really getting possessed, right. You know, really lively.
Oh yeah, that thing grew legs.
It gets crazy, and then you have a long exposition towards the end of the film that explains why the house is the way it is. And if this was a film for adults, you would probably say, "Oh well, they just use the old trick to explain everything to me in 5 minutes." But it's a kid movie, so you have to kind of do something like, because like kids are going to ask questions like, "Why is this house alive?" But then when the exposition does come, it's really dark and really kind of deep and scary. Like, why this house is alive. Like, and I'm just like, Jesus, it's kind of really effed up for a kid movie. It's like his crazy wife. Was it his wife? Yeah. His crazy wife went nuts.
Yeah. It's
his wife. Hated kids. Yeah. And she falls into a house and she possesses the house basically. And I'm like, this is heavy stuff.
They even find her corpse, right?
It's like, it's fucked up.
Mm.
Find it buried in the middle of the house, like Poltergeist. So it's basically, I don't think we touched on the plot, but this is basically Amityville combined with Poltergeist, combined with Transformers, because the house friggin' transforms into a Megazord.
That's funny, because Wyatt, they weren't really watching it, but Wyatt even said that. He goes, man, the house is transforming. He said something like that.
Yeah.
Roll out.
See? Why are you lying to me at first?
Well, he wasn't really paying attention to it, though. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He saw it, but he wasn't seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this house, things disappear, toys at first. It's just no toy survives in this lawn. But they think it's McCracker Jack, right, or whatever Steve Buscemi's character name is. But it's really the house. The house eating the friggin' Girl Scout that the boy has a crush on. The house, you know, after Steve Buscemi's character seemingly dies, the house is like calling him back and forth over and over and over again, and you just hear creaking. That part's kind of creepy because you see the shadow of the house, and then there's this arm that comes out, and it's pretty creepy.
Well, that's
one thing this film does pretty good. And then
you have kids saying stuff like, DJ, did you piss in a bottle? It's like, what? They're saying piss in a kid. Skulls is trying to basically force himself on Z at one point in the movie, and you know, trying to get his freak on with her. I'm just like, watching this, I'm like, they got away with some stuff with the censors on this for a kid film.
Played by Napoleon Dynamite, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Skulls.
That was just like, if your kid's a certain age, those elements might be a little uncomfortable watching this movie. You know? It's like, There's a lot of Stephen King nods in this film at the beginning with a tricycle. I guess the director was a big Stephen King fan, so he wanted to put some King stuff in it. I guess there's the whole idea of the house coming alive was taken from the Dark Tower series, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it would have been Rose Red.
Yeah, I guess that's possible too, but there's also nods to some of Stephen King's short stories, like The Monkey, which was in one of his collected editions. So, big Stephen King fan for this movie. But yeah, I found the movie to be fairly entertaining for the most part. The animation didn't distract me or anything. I thought, I didn't know what long notice about that. I mean, I guess it didn't bother me. It's just a little different than, you're just used to Disney long, that's all. You know. But this was so.
Or spoiled by anime.
Well, this was also Sony's first try at motion capture animation. So I think for a first try, I think they did okay. The film has a good look to it. It all takes place basically in two locations, the kid's house and the haunted house. But for a kid's Halloween flick, though, it's not too scary. Most of the jokes are going to go over the kids' heads, some of the adult jokes. It's just some of the death in it and some of the possession stuff, you know, kids could have questions about. You have to explain to them, like, oh, yeah, they took over the house because her old ass fell in. I don't know. You'd have to explain it somehow.
Or in your case, Mark, just point at that empty house across your lawn.
See that? That house could come alive.
That's awesome.
But, you know, I think that I think it's a decent, okay movie. I think it held up pretty well for my watching. I just, like I said, it gets fun at the beginning when they're in the house and they're trying to survive. And then don't they figure out a way to, I forgot already. They figure out a way to destroy the house. So it becomes your basic MacGuffin type story.
Yeah. And they basically use dynamite at the end.
And then,
yeah.
Then McCracken or whatever his name is. He's all sad that his house is gone because he hated her controlling him, but then he's upset that it's gone after 48 years or whatever. And then, I don't know. there's better choices out there for Halloween movies for kids. I mean, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas or even Paranorman, that we covered last year is a better
Coraline.
I've only saw Coraline one time. I don't really remember it. I'm sure it's good. I mean, Leica Studios does amazing stuff. You know, I mean, I think their best movie. Well, we did Paranorman. I think their best movie is Kubo and the Two Strings. That is such a great movie.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't think Coraline can top that.
The only problem with Kubo is that it might have doomed the studio. You know, they're hanging on by a thread, because their movies cost a lot of money and they didn't make a lot of money. So that's the
There's also Paranorman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only one I didn't like by Leica was the Box Trolls. I thought that was kind of a little weird. You know.
The Box Trolls.
Yeah. So Monster House. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. Feels like we spent more time on The Mandalorian than our feature film today, but that's okay.
That's all right.
I'd say
it's pretty solid. Yeah, decent kid flick. If you want something to watch that's safe for them on Halloween, and don't be like Matt and let your kids watch Hellraiser. It's not good.
you're still on about Hellraiser, there, fuck yeah, Mark.
Well, let's do our weekly top five then. We're gonna have some fun this week with Halloween being tomorrow or today if I get the episode out and release on Halloween. So we're gonna talk your top five favorite Halloween candies.
Okay, before we start, did anyone here put candy corn on their list?
No.
Okay, good. All right, I didn't either.
Good. Thank you, Long.
There's a quick disclaimer. It was like, anyone put freaking
I don't dislike candy corn, but not enough to put it on a list.
It's just sugar.
Was it that most candy?
Yeah, but.
Anyway, Long, kick off the top five.
Anyways. All right, my top five. Shoot. Anytime someone puts M&M in my bag as a kid, man, it's a great starter. You know, M&Ms are always my favorites. Especially with the peanut ones. That's my number five. Go ahead, Matt. What's your number five?
And I've got a copy. It is also peanut M&Ms. That's my number five. I that's my guilty. Sometimes I eat the shell first. I don't bite all the way through so I can enjoy the shell. And then on the second half, I'll eat the peanut and the shell so that there's more peanut.
Yeah.
It's a very specific way of eating it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that too.
I like M&Ms, but they didn't make my list.
What?
My only.
No, that's okay.
At number five, my only non-chocolate candy I have on my list, and that is Mike and Ike's, which also could be Spice Drops on there too. That's like the only fruit candy I like are like Spice Drops and Mike and Ike's. I like those. That's like my go-to candy at the movies a lot of times. So I go to the movies.
I'm about to say, that's a classic movie candy.
But it's my only non-chocolate candy to make my list is Mike and Ike's or Spice Drops.
My number four is right only Kit Kats. If someone gives me left only Kit Kats, I will throw it back in their faces.
Wait, there's left?
It's a stupid joke. or is that Twix?
Twix has left.
Or was that Twix?
One for your left hand.
Oh, okay.
But it's not a fucking political thing. Oh. It's one for your left hand and one for your right hand. So you can eat them.
I only eat right-handed Twix. And if I get left-handed ones, I throw it back at the person who gave it. No. No. That's a joke placement. But I actually, one of my favorite candies is those Smarties. You know what I mean? Those the little sugar pill thingies are. Yeah, that's in different colors. Thing. Yeah, they're just basic sugar tablets, you know? But I love those Smarties. Those are my – I would buy a bag of them and just like, man, I like to have diabetes with this. It's just pure sugar. Sugar and talc powder or something. I don't know what that powder is. Yeah. Is it chalk? I don't know. That's okay. If that sugar is mixed in with that colored chalk, then I guess, give me more of that sugar candy chalk. That's my number four, Smarties.
Here we go.
Go ahead, Matt.
I've got Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
That's way too low on your list. It's a great.
What?
Grace fucking.
I will clarify my stance. At least it's on my top five.
The minis or the large cups?
Oh, large. You got to be the large cups.
I feel like you get more chocolate with the minis.
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe they are. I think that's a good argument. There's probably more peanut butter in the big ones and more chocolate in the smaller ones.
Yeah.
My number four is Kit Kats. And there's no left and right joke here. It's just, I like Kit Kats. I even like the white chocolate Kit Kats. Oh, you know what's fucking good? You ever had the strawberry ones? Those are some good fucking Kit Kats.
Yeah. They make a strawberry one?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
And cream one.
I tried the green tea Kit Kats. Those are really good. Yeah. You can buy them in Asian markets around town.
Oh, yeah.
Look in the candy section.
You get strawberry Kit Kats. Like regular stores, usually we have the strawberry Kit Kats at Valentine's, but you can get strawberry Kit Kats in the Asian market all the time.
My number three are the Nestle Crunch, and then that Halloween exclusive, the Hershey's Crunch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, the Hershey's Crackle, that's what they're called.
The Crackle.
Yeah, that's you can only get the Hershey's Crackles in the Halloween candy bags. But, you know, anything with chocolate and Rice Krispies inside, man, I'm just like over the moon with that.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Nestle Crunch / Hershey's Crackle are my favorite number three. Go ahead, Matt. What's your number three?
Now, this one, my mom gives these out. I know not every house gives these out, but the Hershey's Pumpkin with Marshmallow Filling candy. Have you ever had those?
Gross. Mm-mm.
They're essentially
I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
I don't like pumpkin at all, so.
Well, it's not pumpkin flavored. It's kind of like a marshmallow rabbit, you know, that you get from like a like the Hershey's Marshmallow Rabbit, where it's just a chocolate shell with gooey marshmallow filling. They do it as a pumpkin for Halloween, and they're quite big. So they can be, and that's my number three, marshmallow and chocolate.
And I'm glad none of y'all had nougat on your list yet either, because nougat candy's kind of like, I'll eat it, but it's not my favorite. At number three, I have I forgot to mention, I know this is a kind of an old person candy, but like Heath bars. I like Heath bars, but I didn't put them on my list. But at number three, I have Payday, which is kind of an old person candy too, I guess. But like, I like Paydays with all the peanuts and the peanuts and the candy. Peanut butter and all that. My top three all have fucking peanut butter in them, because I keep peanut butter straight out of the jar. I like peanut butter. You know? I mean, it's blasphemy that some motherfucker would have peanut butter candy number four on his list, but we won't talk about that.
Hey, at least I have peanut butter on my list.
Peanut butter is a great invention.
You know what? Yep. Thank you, George Washington Carver.
I could pick peanut butter on a girl's nipples and I'll lick it off.
TMI. Anyway,
this is a G-rated movie. Too long. PG.
You know what's a really, this is not my number two, but another old-timey candy that Mark was talking about, old-timey, saltwater taffies. That's a really old-timey candy.
I thought you were going to say the Mary Janes.
Or
those good, saltwater good taffy and or
they look like medicine.
Yeah.
Licorice.
Yeah. Licorice is old school. Number two for me are candy nerds, man. Nerds. Willy Wonka. Yeah, Willy Wonka factory is no longer in existence because Nestle sold off the rights, sold off their whole candy patents to an American company. So the nerds are just called nerds now. They're no longer called.
I think it's all owned by Hershey Mars. I thought they bought them.
No, Ferraro Candy what bought them. And Ferraro Candy, they're kind of like your second rate type.
Yeah.
Like Brock's. You know, that's a Ferraro Candy. Yeah. I'm like, So I guess they upped their portfolio by getting to Willy Wonka stuff. Nerds, man. Man, you can get the small little boxes that they give you of nerds. I love them. I like it a lot.
A lot.
Go ahead, Matt.
I'm going to go with a classic look here and go with Haribo gummy bears as my number two.
Haribo?
Haribo. Or Haribo. Haribo.
I would go with Black Forest, actually. Black Forest.
No?
What? How about gummy worms?
I don't like any kind of gummy candy. Like even like the fruit snacks the kids like, I don't even like those. Like that. Yeah.
I love those. I'll put like one in each hand and just
Dude, I love? I love those soda the cola flavor. Mm. Cola flavored gummies.
I get the Star Mix from the Haribo Star Mix. And you've got the gummy cherries, the gummy soda, the gummy twin snakes, the gummy rings.
Go where do you Aldi, buy those?
Go to Aldi. They have them for a buck. Same for Walmart. Walmart has them for a buck, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number two is Matt. Long's favorite. Wait, that didn't sound right at all. My number two is Long's favorite left and right candy, and that is Twix. Left one for the left hand, one for the right hand. Man, Twix are they're just good, man. They all this I don't know. Yeah, I want candy now, but I'm not supposed to eat a lot of candy. But I'll still raid the kids' fucking candy tomorrow night. So,
I gotta make sure there's no Pepto-Bismol injected into your candy here, kids. Some whatever, or any aspirin.
Yeah.
Well, my number one are Twix. That's my number one.
But only your right hand.
You can't. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's right. I only eat right-handed Twixes. Because left-handed Twixes, people use their left hands to wipe their butts with in other parts of the world. So, yeah, you can keep that left-handed stuff to yourself. No, but getting into the Twix, man, it's just, to me, it's just a combination of all the best things in the world put together. You got milk chocolate, which is awesome. You get a little, like, a cookie inside and caramel. So it's like bite-sized pieces of heaven in my definition. If I never go to heaven, then at least I have Twix to chow down on. That's my personal pieces of heaven. They're Twix.
So we know.
Go ahead,
we
Matt.
We know what long eats when he masturbates.
Man. Oh yeah, you know it.
If you had asked me maybe 15 to 20 years ago. I would have definitely said Twix. There was a time when that's all I would grab at the checkout lane for my mom to get me on the way home, just a Twix bar. But I lean more towards gummies now. I don't know why. Chocolate and peanut butter kind of take a back seat. And my number one is also my favorite movie candy. I have about a bag of this a week at least, and that is Sour Patch Kids. Ugh. I love Sour Patch Kid.
No wonder you're getting a fucking dad bod if you're eating a bag a week.
Yep. Yep.
Disgusting candy. Oh. Why are we friends with him long? his list. Ugh.
I got some redeemable qualities on there.
I'm sorry, Matt. I can't go down that hole there with you.
No.
I can't follow.
You're going down a path I can't follow.
Yep.
You turned him against me.
That's a very dark path there, Matt. Well, at least you didn't say black licorice.
No.
Sorry. I don't get the appeal of that.
The only time I ever ate black licorice was when I was trying to pretend that I liked black licorice, and I didn't really like it. No, I really had to stomach it. It was, took a lot of discipline.
Right. Red licorice I have no problem with.
Yeah. You know, oh yeah. That stuff Twizzler? Is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got Twizzlers like, or it's got like jelly beans. I don't eat the black ones. They're disgusting.
Yeah.
Definitely stings the nostrils.
Oh.
God, what's that one jelly bean that was gourmet type jelly beans? What are they called?
Oh, the barf jelly bean from Jelly Belly?
Oh, Jelly Belly. Yeah. No, I never tried the barf one. Are you crazy?
I hate the Bean Boozled bag. I refuse to play it for fear of getting the barf jelly bean.
Yeah, my number one candy is anything made by Reese's. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Reese's Pieces, except for that disgusting Reese's Nougat one they came out with. That was nasty. The Take Five that...
Did you ever try?
Yeah. But no, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the fucking best. Sometimes you even add extra peanut butter on top. You put two of them together. You just bite in. It's fucking my heaven. Okay? And I'll masturbate while eating it too. So, yeah.
Oh, geez.
He really loves Reese's.
The Reese's. Have you had the Reese's cereal?
Good shit.
I did at one point.
Good shit.
Okay. Looks like shit.
It's excellent. So now that we made everybody hungry, enjoy y'all's Halloween candy that you steal from your kids this weekend. And we'll move on to some news. I did not know, Matt, that HBO is developing a Hellraiser series. And Clive Barker just signed on to executive produce and help out the showrunners. So, I don't know how this slipped through me. I didn't realize that they were making a television show. So
I know that they were trying to reboot the series some way, and Hellraiser Judgment just didn't pan out. I think this is probably a better way to go, He's probably going to bring Doug Bradley with him to work on makeup, because Doug Bradley is one of the few people that know how to properly put on those prosthetics.
Right. Second, it feels like this just started filming, and they just released a first photo last week of Tom Holland as Nathan Drake, but I guess Uncharted is already wrapped. Maybe it was just the way they chose to market it. It had been filming and they chose to release the picture kind of late, but all I can say about Uncharted is I'm a huge fan of the games. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's a good film version. That's all I can really say for it. I know I like Tom Holland, but I do feel he's a little scrawny to play Nathan Drake, but we'll see if he pulls it off. And Mark Wahlberg is Sully, which is still kind of weird. So, Oscar Isaac is going to join the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's going to play Moon Knight in the Moon Knight show that's coming to Disney Plus. You know, Moon Knight is one of those characters I don't know a whole lot about, but he's got his fan base, and there's a lot of people that think that Moon Knight is such a badass character that he could be something really big for Marvel if it's taken care of properly. So, but I really like Oscar Isaac as an actor, so kind of cool to see him join the MCU. And
I was hoping Keanu Reeves would snag that role.
I think they want a little bit younger, I think. You know, yeah, I think Keanu's getting up there in his mid-50s now. So, and another video game adaption. Netflix has acquired the rights to make an Assassin's Creed television series. And, you know, if you know anything about the Assassin's Creed games, this is probably kind of a good idea. Because if you do multiple seasons, you could do a different setting every year in history, you know, just like the games do. It certainly has to be better than that movie they made with Michael Fassbender, because, man, I even tried watching that twice just to figure out what it was about. And, like, the movie makes no sense. It's like, so maybe we'll get Assassin's Creed in television form better than the movie that came out. Did you guys see the movie?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's just not very good. No. Y'all didn't miss anything. So we'll see. That's all the news I got. Unless you guys, you know, news has been with Hollywood kind of shut down. It's got to pick and choose every week what we talk about and go through the stuff. So
Arnold's surgery. He had an aortic valve replaced last year, and then he had something worked on his heart again this year. But he says he feels great. And he feels better than he's felt in a while.
I'm having deja vu, and then I realized we mentioned that on the Patreon episode. I'm like, wait, didn't we already talk about that?
Yeah. So I was just like, whenever I saw that, I was like, no, 2020. Nope, not this one.
Cool. Well, let's preview next week's film as we get out of Halloween horrors and we get back to just doing some fun movies as we take you to the end of the year. And we are going to do an extremely popular movie next week that just got released in 4K, celebrating its 35th anniversary. This has been requested by a few people over the last couple of years. People have asked me, when are you going to cover this movie? Well, we're finally covering it. We're going to kick off November with Back to the Future.
Steven Spielberg presents Back to the Future, a Robert Zemeckis film. Marty leads an ordinary life.
No McFly ever amounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley.
Yeah, well, history is going to change.
And 1985 is not his year. But Dr. Brown is about to change all that.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
He's sending Marty 30 years back in time.
It works!
It's a flying saucer from outer space!
Now, he's trapped in the past.
This has got to be a dream.
About to meet...
Chocolate.
...his future father.
He's a peeping Tom.
Wow!
And he's making an impression on his mother.
He's an absolute dream. And he can sleep in my room.
Anything you do could have serious repercussions on future events.
Now, he's got to make his mother and father fall in love.
For crying out loud, I haven't even been born yet.
And only Dr. Brown can help him get back to the future.
Are you telling me that this sucker is nuclear?
Precisely.
Michael J. Fox.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Christopher Lloyd.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Back to the future.
So, a movie that is adored by many. I like it. I don't adore it quite as much as everyone else does. But I'll talk about that next week. It's not so much the comedy of it. I don't know. I rewatched it last week. Wyatt wanted to watch it, and it holds up extremely well. Don't get me wrong. I like the second and third one a little better. I don't know. That's just me. Maybe that's what it is. So next week on the show, Back to the Future should be fun to talk about. I know a lot of people have been looking forward to us covering that movie. And until then, enjoy your Halloween. Thank you as always for listening. Go to the rebelradiopodcast.com. Join our Patreon. That episode will probably be out tomorrow as well. Or today by the time you hear this. And this has been Mark.
Mm-hmm. This has been Matt.
This is just
as always. Long. Thanks for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. And remember, just go there and do it.
Just go there and do it.
Do it.